Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You guys look absolutely shocking.
It's been a long weekend.
Yeah, I had to go to work today and I had to explain the importance of diversification in a large equity portfolio. It was tough.
That sounds tough sober, yeah. Frankly, let alone half cut after a weekend in Chicago, which you're going to hear plenty about. So hands in, Alka-Seltzer's in, and pod on three. One, two, three,
pod!
A day later than usual, this is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. I'm fresh as a daisy. I've had a week away on Holly Bob's and had a normal amount of sleep. It was wonderful, so I'm feeling good. And I've got two haggard steaks, frankly, in front of me.
It was worth it, though. It was so worth it. Hello, Tim.
Hello, JB. Hello, Phil.
Hi, Tim.
You are back from Chicago. That's why you're getting the podcast a day later than usual. Just the recovery was needed, frankly.
I've not slept. We landed at 7:30 this morning. I've worked all the way through like a warrior.
We're going to hear plenty of the boys' exploits and adventures in Chicago as they went to see the USA against the All Blacks in that match. There's loads to look forward to as well. We've got the rugby that happened over the weekend just gone. We've got looking ahead to the autumn internationals. It's so exciting, the fixture lists that are coming up and many more besides. But obviously, there's only one place to start. In a world of intense, physical rugby competitions, there is one competition that stands out above the rest.
Oh, yes.
And it's time to put the right foot forward and to put on a pedestal the greatest of all rugby competitions as we look back at the first weekend of the LV Cup.
Yes. Yes. I can't even whoop.
How does it? Woo.
Oh.
Right. So,
what happened in the LV Cup whilst we were away?
Here are the highlights of the LV Cup. And that was the highlights of the LV Cup over the weekend.
I literally, right, this is how I knew what the score was in the LV Cup. I couldn't find anything about any of the Aviva teams, so I assumed that they had a week off. I had to go onto the Bath website and look at the score to see who they're playing. It wasn't on the BBC, it wasn't on the rugby paper, it wasn't anywhere.
There will be a lot of young players that will get blooded, but as a fan of rugby, I'm just not interested in the LV Cup.
No, I'm not either. I mean, the LV Cup moves the needle a little bit more. Sorry, a little bit less than the Pro 12, but not much.
Oh, I think the Pro 12 has been good.
Very good this season.
We'll see.
Well, hold on. Let me give you the greatest bit of the Pro 12 possibly ever, but certainly over the weekend. Check
the greatest
this out.
Bit of the Pro 12 ever?
quite possibly.
I think I know what you're going to show me.
This is from Cardiff Blues against Munster at the weekend.
And the arm is out as Adam Jones goes for the drop and goal. That would have been spectacular if he managed to pull it off. And he's giggling away to himself. That would have been an astonishing drop goal, to say the least.
Adam Jones trying to drop goal.
So a fat man miss-kicking a ball is one of the best ever things can start the Pro 12. I agree.
What was the name of the Australian prop who dropped a goal?
Matt Dunning?
Was it Matt Dunning?
They got a penalty and there was like 3 minutes to go in the game. And they needed a converted.
It is Matt Dunning.
They needed a converted try, and he just like kicked the ball away, took the penalty, and kicked it.
It actually went over,
which meant that they then still needed to score a converted try. It was a like it messed up what they were intending to do.
Let's talk about some proper rugby then. And there was already some internationals over the weekend. And JB and Phil were in Chicago, the Windy City, for the USA at Soldier Field against the New Zealand All Blacks. Talk to me then, because we've just hooked up this evening to do the podcast. I know nothing about your trip to Chicago.
Yeah, it's a pretty good city. I can confirm that much. The American fans are legitimate.
Yeah, they really are, aren't they?
Yeah, they are incredibly knowledgeable. They're very good drinkers. It was awesome.
They know a lot of rugby songs and a lot of drinking games as well. We can confirm both.
It seems to be that they enjoy rugby as a vehicle to get drunk. It was awesome.
And so their second favourite team is Australia then, clearly, by that token. So you enjoyed Chicago, the city. What was the general weekend? Because you had a lot of media commitments.
Yes, we did.
Did and we didn't. I mean, they didn't feel like commitments. I mean, if this is what the media do on a day-to-day basis, I'd love to be in the media full time. I'm sure it isn't. Yeah, we went to Captain's Run on Friday. Now, this, I think, typifies the difference between the two teams. When we got there, we met all the US press staff. And one of them even said, oh, I know you guys. I listen. And then we spoke to everyone, and everyone's really excited. It's obviously it's the biggest event in US rugby possibly ever. And all they want to do is talk about rugby, because I think to work in US rugby, you've got to love US rugby.
Yeah.
And then
it's a labour of love.
Yeah. And they'd do anything for you.
They were really relaxed, weren't they? Yeah. Really friendly.
And then, it was like the Empire of Darkness descended upon the studio. Stadium. Said hello to some All Blacks guys. They were nice. And then we introduced ourselves to a guy called Joe, who's the media guy. Now, bearing in mind the media person in the USA team had just spent the best part of an hour chatting to us, the New Zealand guy turned around to us and went, hi, I'm Joe. Went, hi, I'm JB. Okay, you need to leave now.
What?
The All Blacks Captain Run was selected guests only. No, officially there was no media supposed to be there in case they, I don't know, see anything untoward, report anything.
Yeah.
So there's only fans were supposed to be there. So we got kicked off the field, went up to have a look around the stadium a bit, and then kind of snuck down a little bit to watch some of it.
Well, that, and also we snuck into the owner's box in Soldier Field and watched half the warm-up from there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. like, you were looking almost vertically down onto the pitch.
That stadium looks incredible.
It is incredible. Yeah. Let me tell you this, the All Blacks mean business. Like, all the boys, when you see them warming up, I mean, we bumped into Kieran Reid in the bowels of the stadium.
Let's talk about
the infamous hoverhand picture.
That for a second. JB, with a man who you would like to go and ride bareback horseback up to a mountain.
He's all right.
He's not quite Jack Berger, but if you had to pitch a tent up a mountain with another man,
look,
besides Jack Berger, then Kieran Reid would be pretty high up on your list.
I asked him for a picture, and in return, he asked me for tips on how to be a world class eight. And it was a worthwhile trade. I enjoyed it. He enjoyed it.
The picture, by the way, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can have a look at JB with Kieran Reid.
But all the boys, all the All Black boys, when they came to warm up and they're just kicking the ball around, you can tell that they just love being All Blacks in the squad. They're all messing about. But everyone around that squad, it is like they're making high-level governmental decisions. They're that serious. Massive contrast between the two.
Yeah, the guys like Israel Dagan, Corey Jane, and some of those boys were throwing around a pigskin after the training session.
Oh, yeah, they were. Mm. Corey Jane and Israel Dagg spent the best part of half an hour playing kick tennis.
Yeah.
And that was it. Kick tennis.
And then telling jokes.
Yeah.
It looked like that was their session. While the forwards were doing like scrums and line-out practice, really diligent work.
That's what you get out of it. It's the organisation. Obviously, we'd like to have watched the Captain's Run, but you understand why they are like they are, because they're into winning, and that's why they are as good as they are.
I was watching the game from my armchair, jealous of you guys being out there, and I was thinking, oh, come on, just take it easy on the USA now. This is a big game for them. Come on, give them. But they will not give an inch.
This test was about educating the Americans into, well, not the actual fans who were there, because they know, but the rest of America, right? So it was televised. We heard the commentary in the stadium, not the commentary on TV, the commentary in the stadium was unbelievable.
The guy had no clue.
Literally no clue.
He was like, there was a...
Handball.
There was probably a 10 to 15 second gap in between a decision being made and him announcing what the decision was, where he's like flicking through a rule book and then he announces it and it's wrong almost every time. And
then, I'll come out there and do it. I'll put on an American accent even and do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the Americans on TV had a choice of listening to him or at half time, even more confusing, Richie McCaw trying to explain the breakdown. Now, if there's only one man in the world you don't want to explain a breakdown, it's Richie McCaw.
Yeah, because he does what he wants. Rules don't apply, yeah.
So, Richie, what is this rook thing?
Well, I just do whatever I want and...
coming from any side, hands, feet, mouth, doesn't matter.
Yeah, on your feet, off your feet, it's just easy, it doesn't matter, does
and
it?
And once or twice in your whole career, you'll get a yellow card.
Yeah. Only because you're wearing the wrong shirt.
Yeah, because he was wearing six, wasn't he?
I did love the commentary again when I was sat on my armchair. The phrases such as, I thought the guys did a good job, actually, the American guys that were commentating. But phrases like, Samu Manoa's been covering some real estate this afternoon. And cleats, the phrase cleats instead of boots got used.
I heard Rugby IQ came out.
Rugby IQ was a new phrase on me. And 2-point conversion, no good.
The one. Yeah, they had a lot of no good and good.
But the stadium announcer was announcing no good when it was good. And good. But that's the same as American football.
Exactly the same rule.
Go between the sticks.
I know. The one thing I did like, I thought the guys on the telly did a decent job because they've got to explain it to this American really audience and they've got to kind of keep up to speed with the game. But there was one bit where they obviously didn't understand that you could do a quick line out.
Yes.
And so a couple of times, I think Corey Jane caught it off the field and threw it straight into play. He went, referee Joubert obviously hasn't seen his feet in touch. He's letting go.
There were some guys behind us when one of those happened.
I thought you got it wrong, but
they were shouting, the flag was up, the flag was up.
It is a tough sport to get your head around. So fair play. Well, I know you've got some little clip, some bits of audio from your nights out.
Yes, indeed. But we might make a little bit of a game out of it.
Well, we'll do that in a little bit. Let's talk about a little bit of the other rugby then, because I think the game of the weekend was the Barbarians against Australia. It was everything the Barbarians is all about. The romance, guys just rocking up and never playing together and playing attacking rugby. Australia played their part as well, but it was absolutely awesome. I don't know if you caught any of the highlights since coming back.
I watched the game just before coming here. I feel 14 of the players provided all the skill. All the emotion was provided by the badge.
All about the badge. The whole week was about
amazing.
The badge. The whole week was about the badge. The guy is a special guy. And John Kerwin, who was the coach of the Barbarians for the week, just said, and, bearing in mind he's a New Zealander, he said, Australia, get the guy back in the squad, because what he did for the Barbarians was provide just a real galvanising force and a real positive energy that really made the whole week brilliant for the Barbarians. And that bore out in the way they played as well. Well, it was all about the badge. I mean, this was him touring London and being shown Buckingham Palace.
Welcome to Buckingham Palace. Are you a royalist or a Republican? Are you pro the Queen?
She does her best, mate. And I don't have any bad thing to say about her. She's a good bird, former flame. I don't want to,
Probably legitimately could be held in the Tower of London for that. And also, just again, in another media commitment, this is him just giving support to Movember in the way that the badge does.
Well, it's feet, Inkham. Put your finger out, grow a Mo. She'll love it, absolutely love it. And so your charisma will go through the roof.
That was the badge doing that. And then there was the badge's post-match interview as well.
It was back and forth, it was up and down, it was bloody everywhere, and mate, it was just bloody enjoyable rugby, mate.
It was it. Spin on your heels, let's have a look at the try itself. Talk us through how you planned this.
Basically,
it was
it. Oh, look, now give it here. Oh, no, there, pop. Yeah.
Clashing all over the place.
She's opened up and he's over. A bit of meat out of the post.
He is a special, special man.
The only clip from the game I've seen is the QB line-out, the 40-yard QB line-out.
Hang on, which game are you talking about?
Barbarians Australia.
Not the USA one.
There was one in both.
Do you see the one in the USA game?
The what?
The QB line-out.
Oh, no.
It's the one in the United States game.
Which was a lot worse. The one in the Barbarians game was awesome. Was like a planned move to skip the whole line-out and go straight to midfield.
I mean, the Americans loved it, but... I'm pretty sure Nick Kennedy, who was coaching the lineouts, would not have loved it quite so much.
You met Nick Kennedy, didn't you, in Chicago?
Yes, he was there.
How was that?
Awesome.
Because I didn't realise he was working with Team USA.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had no idea.
On their lineouts.
And yeah, we were like, who's that tall, handsome guy over there?
He's very handsome.
Oh my God, it's Nick Kennedy.
He's a dashing chap.
He certainly is. We chatted to him for about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes on the sideline whilst we watched the USA train. He's got stats after stats after stats. And then after that, he went...
Phil, no, this must be Phil's new man crush then, if he can just come out with facts and stats and figures.
Well, yeah, he was good for that.
And then he, after training, he disappeared off to the Chicago Bears to meet their GM, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So doing pretty well for himself.
What can you say that Nick Kennedy let you in on?
Well, he said he's been watching the last 10 New Zealand games in the build-up to this week. And amongst other things, he told to us was that they win 50% of their own kickoffs back. So they will reclaim, they'll kick off, and 50% of the time they will reclaim that ball. And
fact.
Wow.
Which is quite incredible when you think about
it. You think, this is a rule designed so the other team get the ball.
Yeah. And not anymore.
Wow. That is an amazing stat. Yeah. I will keep an eye on that in the England game.
Yes.
We just talked about someone who possibly has the best banter, for want of a better word. The first member of Banter Squadron, the Honey Badger, Nick Cummins. I just want to highlight, because he's a great advert for rugby in general, and there's one advert for how bad football banter is, and it comes via Gary Lineker. Possibly I know it's not rugby, it's sport, but I thought it had to be shared. One of the worst bits of banter I've ever heard.
So
I don't know if you were aware that Mark Clattenburg apparently missed refereeing a football game because he wanted to go and see Ed Sheeran.
Yes, I heard that.
I didn't
know.
Wow.
So basically, Gary Lineker thought, I know, I'll do a great joke in a tweet. So Gary Lineker's tweet said, "Great news for Clattenburg. He's reffing at Burnley on Saturday. That will give him time to get to Denmark for Ed Sheeran's next concert on Tuesday." That was a joke. That was a joke, guys.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
That was a joke.
Wow. Sorry. Wow. Sorry, I thought you were reading that off a parody Twitter.
No, it's just...
That's not boring James Milner's account, mate.
No, it's real Gary Lineker's account. Good banter, Gazza.
Good one, Gary.
Well done, Gary. Good work. Yes. I thought this was banter when I read it, but it's not. This is real as well. Bernard Laporte is saying that he may well make Toulon not play the game against Cass this weekend due to a lack of props and hookers.
What?
Wow.
Toulon, apparently... may not have enough props or hookers to fulfil their fixture against Cast at the weekend.
Nonsense.
I know.
Absolutely not. Is he doing a Cockers?
Richard Cockerell. Throwing his toys out the pram a little bit.
How many props down?
They say it's due to international
call-ups. They don't have an academy and they don't have any... Oh, that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same thing as Racing making a big fuss about the Welsh boys. Something's going on in France, I think, and that... I think it's powerful club owners and powerful clubs really pushing back against internationals.
Mm. Well, they're pushing back to not have to pay them when they're off on internationals.
The clubs don't even pay them when they're injured.
Yeah, they already don't pay them when they're injured. They get the wild card and it's paid for by the union or whoever.
By the council, unbelievably.
I didn't know that. That's...
Yeah, wow. If you get injured in France, your wage gets paid by the council, or a large proportion of it.
Wow. Well, Morad Boujalad must have thought he got Johnny Wilkinson on the cheap when he first went there.
This does sound a lot like they're putting the gun to the heads of the rugby organisers.
Go on then. Well, speaking of the Welsh boys, JB, you were saying there's something brewing with Dan Lidiott as well. He's been cut cold from the squad.
Yeah. So Dan Lidiott, who only 2 years ago was the best player in Europe, man of the Six Nations, has now been cut, as in released, just let go, from Racing. Now, I don't know where he's going to end up, don't know how injured he is or what it is. It's the equivalent of just letting a Premiership footballer go, just to find new work. I mean, we're talking about a serious, serious international player here.
Yeah.
So he's worth some money to someone. Bearing in mind, Stefan Armitage is worth, what, a couple hundred thousand?
And he's hard to replace.
Yeah, exactly. So this made me think this is the side effect of not having a strict salary cap, because this is also related to Warren Gatland. Warren Gatland has said that he thinks players in France are not fit enough. Have you heard this?
Yeah. Particularly the forwards he was worried about. Not fit enough to play the way that Wales play.
So yeah. I think, and tell me if you think I'm wrong here, this is a direct result. Because you can have unlimited funds, all that you do is you go and buy the biggest players. And because you buy the biggest players or the best players or the most skillful players, you neglect other things to make the players better, because you can just get in the next one, and you can build up a big squad. Whereas if you're playing in the Premiership, which has a very tight salary cap, you need every single ounce of what you can get out of your players.
Yeah.
So the Premiership is a far more efficient league at getting more out of the players than the French league.
Get more bang for your buck.
Who don't really care. And that's why they're not paying conditioners or doing the right stuff. I mean, they are building stadiums, I guess, but everything else.
Well, that's a little storyline that could move on. Look, we'll see what happens with Dan Lidgett, but obviously he'll have a vested interest in Wales, Australia at the weekend, as a countryman at least.
Mm-hmm.
But the big game, the big eye-catching game, and let's talk about
what?
It.
Cause
I can't believe we've got this far into the...
Hang on. I hope you're not going to skip over the Welsh-Australia game for England.
Well, we'll get to Wales-Australia, but come on, you've got the ranked number one and ranked number three teams in the world. If that's not the eye-catching fixture of the weekend, I don't know what is. England against New Zealand at Twickenham, with Stuart Lancaster dealt another injury blow without the services of Tuilagi and Burrell and obviously Dan Cole and other front row players, Mako Vinipola and...
Corbisiero,
Tom Youngs, Jeff Parling. Now also Joe Launchbury. Now I think that's possibly, along with Tuilagi, the biggest loss.
Yeah, it's a huge loss, isn't it?
Yeah. Albeit Dave Attwood is a really, really informed...
Dave Attwood. They'll bring Stuart Hooper in, surely.
Stop it with Stuart Hooper.
He's a beast. He's a captain. He's a leader.
But what I thought we should do, just as one way to build up to the match, is to pick a combined 15. So assume everybody in the squad are fit, so even Tuilagi or whatever, and we can debate the various positions. But let's go through 1 to 15 and say who we would pick from the two squads to make one combined team. And that will give us a bit of an indicator as to where we're at. So at 1, Tony Woodcock, is he still knocking
pretty good,
around,
isn't
he? I still wouldn't look past him at loose head.
Yeah, I think Marler's probably first choice for England.
Not Marler for me.
I'd go for Woodcock ahead of him.
I'd go for Woodcock as well. At hooker now, this Kiwi...
I'd definitely pick a Kiwi.
This Kiwi lad is... Because this is a position where they've been weak for a while, but he is really making the shirt his own now.
Are you talking about the same guy here? Dylan Hartley? That's who I'd be picking.
Very good. Dane Coles is looking awesome.
Yeah,
his loose play is amazing. I don't know whether it's just because he's in a New Zealand team, but I'd be tempted to put him above Hartley, although albeit it's pretty close.
I'd put in Hartley.
I probably would put in Hartley, just that little bit of niggle in the tight as well.
I think looking at the two, Hartley looks considerably bigger.
I think Hartley is a bit heavier, a bit more robust.
So we'll go Woodcock 1, Hartley at 2, 3.
Probably have to be Franks, wouldn't it? Owen Franks.
Even over Dan Cole, if Dan Cole was fit.
Oh, yeah. Definitely over Dan Cole.
Yeah. I think he gives a lot more in the loose.
We say that. Isn't Dan Cole a bit of a turnover machine?
Turnover machine, but nothing else. He's not a ball carrier, really.
So
doesn't make the odds.
Both props, New Zealanders.
Yes. Both props are New Zealanders, but I don't think necessarily makes them the better team at scrummaging when it comes down to it.
In the second row, then, this is where England, I think, potentially, you could argue, would have both in, although Brody Retallick's been...
And Whitelock.
...been awesome. Whitelock's
Sam Whitelock.
Been great as well.
There's a lot of depth, because Tui Palotta, who...
Massive man.
Yeah, he's only 21, and he's like 6'8 and...
Is there any point in anyone else
19
playing?
Stone.
I think I'd pick Courtney Laws.
I think I would as well. Retallick and Laws.
Yeah.
Do it that way around.
Yeah, I like
why
that.
Not Atwood? Oh, why is that? It's not even a joke.
Why not Hooper?
Why not Hooper?
Yeah, why not Hooper?
Why not Sam Burgess?
Into the
because it's a second row, you idiot.
I'm going to propose a back row, and tell me if you disagree. 6 Robshaw, 7 McCaw, 8 Reid.
No,
you'd have Liam Messam.
8
ahead of
Liam Messam ran directly towards us.
No, it was Jerome.
No, sorry, it wasn't. Was it?
It was Jerome Kano.
Jerome Kano, terrifying. I mean, he was only warming up. But we're on the same pitch, we're pitch level with him, and he's running, sprinting towards us, doing his warm-up drill. And I was like, this is what it must feel like.
I hope he slows down. Please slow down.
But obviously, there's no question. Reid at 8, McCaw at 7, so who gets the 6th shirt? Is it Liam Messam?
Kano? Kano's
is it
good.
Robshaw? I'd go Robshaw. He's been outstanding.
He's been really, really good.
But
I'd be tempted to have Vunipola at 6. Wow.
Or Kano.
Kano,
no. How can you not?
Phil, pick.
Go on then. Let's have Kano.
Kano.
Oh. So an all New Zealand back row. So 9 then, Danny Kerr. Is he?
I really rate Aaron Smith. I think he's awesome. But I think Danny Kaye is possibly the form nine in the world at the moment.
2 years ago, that was one way that England really got it in New Zealand was by getting at Aaron Smith. Yeah. And they really, really got at him at the breakdown and he didn't handle it particularly well.
Yeah.
I think Danny Kaye.
Kaye's following me.
10, there's obviously Carter.
Whoa! Carter is probably third choice Kiwi fly half now.
Nah, he'll be back. He'll be interesting. Coming back from injury.
Who
are they going to pick against England? Because I think they'll pick Cruden.
I think they'll pick
Cruden. Yeah, Cruden. And there's
Bowden Barrett is awesome.
And there's also Slade, who didn't even make the team.
But as in, Carter's only played like two or three games back since a few months out injured.
But
Carter is probably the best
Carter's
ever.
Carter. So Carter. Kerr and Carter, 12 and 13. This is interesting. Does Tuilagi break the Nonu Smith axis?
Does Sonny Bill break the Nonu Smith axis?
Does Sonny Bill?
Does Ryan Crotty break the
Ryan Crotty was
does
awesome.
Fekitoa break the Nonu Smith axis? Basically, can Tuilagi get in
ahead of like five
all of those?
We were saying on Saturday, New Zealand might have the four best 13s in the world.
Conrad Smith,
Fekitoa, Ryan Crotty and Kieran Reid.
Yeah.
And the two best 12s in the world.
Sonny Bill Williams. You have to see him up close. He's not
quite cut from the same cloth as you and I, is he?
He is. Here's the reason, right, that socialism doesn't work. Because some people are just better. And that's what he is. He's better.
I love the fact you're taking using Sonny Bill Williams. Not only is Sonny Bill Williams now a heavyweight boxing champion, Rugby Union World Cup winner and Rugby League international, he's also
a political activist.
Poster boy for capitalism. Yeah.
If I had to pick it today, I would probably think about Sonny Bill and Conrad Smith.
Most noticeable thing for me about him and Sonny Bill and a lot of the players was the timing of the offload.
Yeah, that's it.
So they would draw the man, and then take contact, and they have taken contact and the offload's gone. So that man is completely out of the game and it just creates so much more space for everyone else.
Sonny Bill in the flesh. Phil, back me up here.
You're not wrong, Jay. Oh. You're not wrong.
An incredible specimen.
Yeah. His shoulders.
Do you reckon I could take him if it came on to a fist fight?
I'd like to see it, but
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Special man.
I'm sure he wears shorts too tight on purpose.
Yeah.
Because that's a rugby league thing, isn't it?
They were like medium boys' shorts.
They were.
They were tiny.
Do you reckon when they're unpacking, like, have you got Sonny's shorts? He's not going to be happy with them.
Just emphasising the tininess of his waist compared to the hugeness of his shoulders.
Yeah.
And his monstrous legs as well.
Mm. He is
so athletic.
So who would make the centres then? I'd say Tuilagi would make the US, would make the All Black squad, but would not get in the starting 15.
Yes.
Although when you look back 2 years to that game, he was a wrecking ball that ruined New Zealand.
Yeah,
but
that,
I'd say
that one game.
But exactly what you talked about, I don't think any Englishman has the fundamental key skills that pretty much all the New Zealanders have.
I would go for, if everyone's fit, Nonu and Conrad Smith.
Nonu and Smith. So far, we've only got Danny Kerr in the back line. Wingers, Surveyor number 11, thank you,
yes.
Done, dusted.
He is the most boring player in the world. And everyone bangs on about how good he is. I could score the tries that he scores. When he gets the ball, so many players have fallen for 8 offloads and six dummies. He's usually with like clear space and just dots it down. And he had 2 more this weekend.
He's still awesome.
Yeah. He is.
He's still awesome. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. He's benefiting from being a winger in one of the best teams ever.
In attack. Right, he is to rugby what Mills Molina is in defence, which is we never even knew if he could defend. You know, you watch 90-odd games of Molina and he never made a tackle. We just simply don't know.
The other winger who gets in, it's got to be another Kiwi, hasn't it?
Have they?
Corey Jane, probably, ahead of Piatau.
Ahead of any of the English ones?
It depends if you're going to play Ben Smith as a winger or a fullback.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, let's have Ben Smith and Surveyor on the wings.
And then Mike Brown at fullback.
I would put Mike Brown based on his last year's.
The fullback in the last couple of years in the world.
Let's just back up a bit. Do you not think that Ben Smith is a waste on the wing?
They're so kind of fluid that anyone can fit in anywhere.
I think Mike Brown is incredibly lucky if he makes that team.
I think Mike Brown. I put Mike Brown in and I put Ben Smith on the wing. So Kieran Brown from Quinns, you go
yeah.
with that?
Yeah, Phil? I go with that.
So you're outvoted anyway.
Again.
Other than that, it's Kiwis. Danny Kerr, Mike Brown, and Dylan Hartley.
Dylan Hartley, yeah.
And Courtney Laws, the only representative. Two from Northampton, two
so
from Quinns.
So only three Englishmen make the team?
Four.
Four Englishmen.
No, because one's in New Zealand.
All right, Dylan Hartley, yeah. So on that basis, the logic would be New Zealand are going to roll England over.
Yes.
I think that is going to happen.
I think that is going to happen as well.
I can't think of how they stop them.
I think it'll probably be 15 to 20 points as well. I think that New Zealand are that much better than the team that England will put out, partly because of injuries.
Here's the thing. New Zealand looked very, very organised against a USA team who don't spend enough time together. Maybe England's organisation will be enough to slow them down. And if they can get a foothold in the game, they might be able to get something.
I think England's, if you want to call it a draw, I think England's run of fixtures are the least favourable that they could have been. They've got New Zealand first up,
mm-hmm. yeah.
who will be formidable and have already had a warm-up game, whereas England are coming in dry. They finish with Australia, who always start badly, finish really well.
Yeah,
And they've also got Samoa beating them up and South Africa in the middle.
Massive
physical challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these the two awesome massive getting out of hand.
I love it.
Yeah,
absolutely
awesome.
Love it.
Four consecutive weeks of huge fixtures.
I think they need to have three tests, okay?
Oh,
in the autumn.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And one of those tests should have to be a
tier two nation.
I love it. I just want to see him play these teams, thanks. I love it. They normally
do play a tier two nation, like Samoa, like Fiji.
It's like asking a kid what they want for breakfast. You're just going to say, more sweets, jam, chocolate. Right? Just have three, because that way, right, you build a mystique. It's not all, sugar's not always good for you.
Brilliant. I want to see him play in all of those three big Southern Hemisphere teams, and I like the fact that Samoa are getting a look in as well. Can't wait for that. Now, we'll get into the other games that are happening this weekend, but let's look back to the boys' trip to Chicago. And you went out and you had your media commitments, you got your little press passes, you went and you stood touchline and spoke to some rugby players, but you also spoke to rugby fans. Now, you met a bunch of Egg Chasers podcast listeners.
We did.
Who were out there.
Yeah, we did. So we met with Warren Mullis,
Preston, and Jackie. The three, not Jackie. Jackie was Jack Moon. Jake.
Yeah, yeah.
Jake. He was wearing a Jackie Moon shirt.
He was dressed up as Jackie Moon.
And Scott Fennell, who tweeted saying, yeah. call to bump into the rugby podcast boys at Soldier Field today.
I was dreaming when that happened. Like, yeah. JV, who's this?
Someone shouted you in the crowd.
We've been there 2 minutes again. It was like being back at Leicester, and we're just 60,000 people trying to get into the stadium. And someone bumped into us, Scott, which was very good, quite cool to meet him.
Did you over egg the pudding slightly on your nights out?
Did I say that as a world class sports announcer? Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Well, you're not over egging the pudding at all, then, JD.
No, absolutely not.
So you went out with some recording equipment and you spoke to some sports fans. What have you got for us here?
Yeah, so this is in a sports bar. I went to a few sports bars. So I thought it'd be quite a good idea to test the temperature of the US sports fans. By the way, they are sports mad. We landed. We got to a bar. Pretty much every bar is a sports bar.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of basketball and also, a gem for me, Thursday night football. So these people know their sports. So first person we met was a young lady who was serving us.
Yeah, does each person know why we are in Chicago? What is the sporting event?
Right. First, funny enough, you chatted to some girls. Did that happen a lot?
No,
not really.
No.
One of the funniest things that a girl said to me was, oh, you're from the UK? Is that where Germany is? Yeah.
It takes too much of my time concentrating. I've got other things to drink.
All right, so come on then.
So first one was a waitress in a brewery.
Yeah.
What do you think? And this was a sports brewery as well.
I am going to say yes, she'll know, because the logic is, not necessarily because she's into rugby or anything, but she will have spoken to enough people that someone will have let her know that that's on.
Okay.
So yes.
Here we go.
This Saturday in Chicago Field, sold out. What is it?
I don't know.
are you not patriotic?
Help!
Oh,
okay, phone a friend. What is it?
The Eagles are playing a test against the All Blacks in rugby.
Ah.
There you go.
I got that wrong. She didn't have a clue.
She didn't know.
She does know her rugby players.
Does she now?
Because we went on to ask her this.
Now, I'm going to name three people, and you've got to tell me which one is the world-class rugby player. Okay? Tim Cocker, Phil Logan, or Jonathan Beardmore?
Jonathan.
Yeah!
Yay!
Yeah.
Well done.
Bill knows her stuff.
Wow. She's not totally stupid then. Right, okay. Fair enough. Okay. Next up then. Right,
okay, so JP. JP was a doctor.
Yeah. He was a legend.
Yeah, he's an educated man. He'll be from the middle classes. If someone's going to know their rugby, I'd bank it on being a doctor.
He described himself, right? Because he was sitting down and he asked me how tall I was. I told him. Then I asked him how tall he was. He goes, I'm 5'7", but much taller standing on my wallet. big Alabama fan.
Okay, here's JP.
3 p.m. Soldier Field this Saturday. What's the sporting event?
It's Saturday? Sunday is football. Saturday is Soldier Field. It ain't baseball. I don't know. What is
USA Eagles versus the New Zealand All Blacks rugby.
Rugby?
Rugby.
I don't give a fuck about rugby.
No idea.
All right.
He looked after us very, very well for the next two hours.
Yeah, it was good fun with JP. Okay, so the final one was in a deep pan pizza place. And again, it was the waiter in a deep pan pizza place.
He'll be looking for a tip. I want to believe the best in people. I think someone's going to know in Chicago, so yes.
Okay, here we go.
I've been wrong every other time.
We're here for one reason this weekend, and that reason corresponds with a sold-out Soldier Field. So do you know what's happening in Soldier Field this weekend?
Is it the rugby match?
Yes.
It is.
My brother's gone. My sister-in-law played rugby in college at the University of Illinois. They met up here, so they're gone. They're taking my nephew, who's about a year and a half old.
There you go.
But that's not a good advert for rugby. I suppose if one out of three people knows, that's good going.
I'm not sure if our sample size is big enough. But yes, I mean, that would make it like 3 million people or something.
There were a lot of people in bars who were just there for the rugby. You could tell they were rugby fans. They were talking
loads
about the rugby.
Loads of Kiwis.
Yeah.
Loads of them.
There were loads of Kiwis. But people from all over, people from Ireland, England, lots of Australians as well. Mm. And just people from all over United States, like loads of guys with like a California University rugby team, Colorado rugby team, like the different jerseys, which was really, really good
to
see.
You haven't dished enough dirt for my liking. There must be some shenanigans that went on. You were there, you were boys on tour.
Yeah, so our friend Steve, who was on the podcast last week, and there's a good reason that he doesn't come on the podcast. He's not a wordsmith. He got a little bit excited on one of the nights, on the last night that we were there. And I asked for directions from a guy on a street corner. Steve lost his cool somewhat and said, under no circumstances, to the same effect, would he talk to this guy, and actually said that he might be a drug dealer. Steve then ran off. I was walked back to my place by this very kind drug dealer. In the morning, Steve said, this is an example of, do you know when you fall out with your girlfriend or your wife, and then something is relatively minor, or something didn't really happen, but to make their point, they exaggerate what happened. Well, so I said to him in the morning, I was like, Steve, you are absolutely mental. You know, why did you not walk in? He goes, oh yeah, it was a drug sting.
What, and one too many movies?
Yeah, and also, doesn't that imply that I'm about to buy some drugs?
It can be a drug sting, but it doesn't matter because you're not going to buy drugs, so you'll be fine.
So we lost Steve for about 2 hours because he went the other way. I think he's scared of people who aren't from Leamington.
We met some cool guys after the game who, I think they're from Colorado University. They played Colorado University rugby and were in Chicago to watch the game and spent like the next 3 hours in an Irish bar, the Shamrock Club.
Oh,
basically
great.
Playing drinking games, drinking songs, just kind of doing everything that you'd normally do. They're really, really good fun.
Yeah, that was like a scene from a movie. It was great.
It was, yeah.
So flipping jealous. Well, we're going to look ahead to the internationals that are coming up a little bit more in just a second, but we've gone from that Chicago-based game to Phil's normal trivia-based question.
Yes.
You got a little... So play along. You might need a pen and paper if you're doing this.
Yeah.
Or all the little app on your phone that you can scribble and write some ideas on, because it's quite often list-based. What have you got for us today, Phil?
It is list-based, James.
What a surprise.
You got pen and paper there?
Yeah, I've got pen and paper.
Okay, so nice and easy. I'm going to name six rugby players, and I want you to write them down in order of who has got the most caps. So, lowest to highest.
Yeah.
And the players are James Hook, Ruan Pienaar, Israel Deg, Frederick Michalak, Jack Berger, and Stephen Moore.
Ooh, interesting.
Have you got all those?
Read them again.
Okay, so James Hook,
yeah,
Ruan Pienaar, Frederick Michalak, Israel Dag, Jack Berger, and Stephen Moore.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you that there's at least 10 caps between them. I've not picked two who are on like 35 and 36 caps. They're all spread out nice and evenly.
Okay. How many caps have they got? Okay. Oh, I don't know. There's a couple that are like, wow.
Between the six of them,
yeah,
they've got 380 caps.
Oh, okay.
Spread across the six.
Can I give you what I think?
So that would if you average them all at the same, you'd be talking about what, like 70?
Yeah, 60 odd caps each.
Right, I think there's going to be a couple of curveballs here.
Right, so can we also tell you as we go down how many caps we think each one has?
You can.
It's not the game. I'm not going to do that.
No.
So we stop in the bottom. We say where we think that guy
roughly,
is.
Roughly.
I'm thinking Jack Berger might be a little curveball. I'm going to put him as my bottom.
Jack Berger's my bottom as well. I say 20 caps.
Okay. Next for both of you.
I'm going to go Ruan Pienaar, because I reckon he won't have. Good player as he is, I reckon he won't have played that much. He's had great nines at South Africa. He's been in Europe for a while. I'm going Ruan Pienaar.
I think that's a terrible choice, because I'm going to go Stephen Moore.
Stephen Moore second for.
I think he's got about 40 caps, I'd say.
Okay. Third.
Third, I'm going to say would be Israel Dag.
I also have Izzy D.
Izzy D is third. Okay.
I'm going to go, and this is where I think the curveball might come in. I'm going to go Freddie Michalak.
Wow.
Freddie Michalak is four.
Yep.
I've got James Hook, who's got 71 caps.
He's four. Okay.
I'm going James Hook at two.
Yeah.
Ruan Pienaar two. I don't think he's had a significant break from South Africa. And I think he must have about. 80 caps, I'd say.
Okay.
And I'm going Stephen Moore, number one. And I'm guessing, I reckon he's got over 100 caps.
Freddie Michalak has, I think, is the most capped French 10. I think he's about 94-ish.
Well, this time, we're not going to have the same list. We haven't got the same list.
You haven't got the same list. And I can tell you the scores are 3-2.
Oh, shit.
So you score points by
getting them in the correct position. So I can tell you that you both got Jack Berger correct. Only 29 caps.
Wow.
Then, next up was Israel Dag in second with 44. Although he might have 45 now after that game. Frederick Michalak was third.
Wow!
Oh, no! It's over!
With 59. James Hook was fourth. So that's another point for JB.
Oh no! Oh no!
Even though you fluked it, you fluked James Hook. You thought James Hook had less than.
No. But I also said he. No, I think that's about right.
Ruan Pienaar is second top.
Yes!
Fifth. So a third point for James.
Stephen Moore was top.
Stephen Moore is top.
So I got top and bottom.
With 92.
Oh, I should get an extra point for getting the one who got the most caps. Rubbish!
Yes!
There you go, so Jay.
Well played.
Jay wins.
Well played. Good game, good game.
Yeah, I thought Ruan Pienaar would have more, because They don't have those silly rules in South Africa. They just pick good players.
Right, OK, fine. Fine. Right, let's look at the weekend's rugby then. We've got some amazing fixtures and we've already talked about England, New Zealand. We all think New Zealand will win. And Phil, and I think they're going to win by, I'm going to say, 10 points.
I hate the Autumn Internationals.
Yeah, I think 15.
You only hate the Autumn Internationals because you're Welsh and Wales are always rubbish in the Autumn and then they win
stressful.
The Six Nations.
Like you came up with the Autumn Internationals thinking that it's over. You know, Wales just shouldn't play. And then we go and do something great in the Six Nations.
Wales v Australia then. How do you see this one going?
Interesting, yeah.
No idea.
Both teams in kind of transition a little bit, I think.
Transition? One's had a coach for 8 years.
Not the coach, but just the shake-up. They're trying to bring all the players back.
Yeah,
they're trying to get the central contracts. They've got people who are unavailable, like the English and French.
And a lot of players who have been perennial guys not making the squad. Adam Jones, for example.
Yeah.
I think Australia are going to win, and I say that because, I mean, the Millennium Stadium is my favourite rugby stadium.
After the rack.
And it has a massive, massive impact on a game. However, Australia have been playing against South Africa and New Zealand for the last 2 months.
It's a good point, but the counter-argument I'd like to make is they've got a coach in Michael Chaka, who's brand new, although he does know a lot of the Waratahs.
Yeah.
Will this inflame the so-called division between the Waratahs players and the Brumbies? Will he be binning everything that McKenzie did and starting afresh? Will he be carrying on? Will he like this? I mean, there's so many questions about that Australia team. And, yeah, OK, the Welsh lads have a contract dispute here and there. But actually, they're a pretty settled team and they're very powerful.
So you're going, as a true Welshman, you're going Wales. I'm going Australia. Phil?
Australia.
There you go.
But a good game, I think.
I think it'll be a good game as well. Ireland, South Africa. I'm just going to make it a clean sweep of Southern Hemisphere teams. I'd love to see Ireland win. There's some doubts about Johnny Sexton's fitness.
Oh, really?
Because
they're like missing Keane Healy and Sean O'Brien.
I know. I can't. I just.
It's going to be pretty big.
So Dwayne Vermaelen and Eben Etzebeth up front. Good as Paul O'Connell is and some of the other guys up front. I can't see it.
Yeah.
I'm with you 100%.
Italy, Samoa.
More interesting. Now, I don't know what kind of squad Samoa have actually got. Because if they've got all their big players,
they're missing one of the PCs. I forget which one. I think it's George.
Through injury.
And they're missing Mulapola, obviously.
Yeah. But if they've got full or close to full availability, which they don't always have, then I'd go for Samoa. I think they can do it. And I don't think Italy have been playing particularly well. So
I'm going to go Samoa.
Me too. Samoa.
For Scotland, Argentina.
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 Now, on the last podcast, JB said, when we mentioned Scotland v Argentina for something, JB went, can you imagine what Argentina would do to Scotland? And a very proud Scottish fan who listens to the podcast went, went, do you know what Argentina would do to Scotland? That was you saying that. Mm-hmm. And then went, firstly, yes, Scotland won 21-19 in June. Second, let's see next week, says Jamie Simpson.
Yes.
Hear me now, believe me later. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
I do think the Argentina team in June was a little bit weakened. I don't think they had a lot of their European players. But
unless the Scottish feed the Argentines a pretty much meal of deep-fried Mars bars and plenty of them, the Argentines are going to smash the Scots.
I wouldn't say smash.
I don't think they'll smash them.
I think they will.
Glasgow have got a very good team
with a good, strong
Scottish backbone.
But they keep picking all these players from abroad, which is interesting.
Like who?
I'm going to go with
the French lads.
Home advantage, Scotland, to be the only home nations team that get a win.
What?
I think Argentina will be...
I don't understand this, because you're both intelligent, reasonable people.
Thanks,
we'll
Jay.
We'll see on Saturday.
I think
it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a good game, but I think Argentina will benefit from just coming off the back of what could be considered to be a successful Southern Hemisphere International Tournament because they got their final win.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Scotland won't have been together since the summer. But the Glasgow backbone of that team is good.
I hurt, sir.
So what? Are you going with Argentina, Phil?
I am. Just.
So are you saying then, Phil, that the only Northern Hemisphere team that will chalk a win will be France against Fiji?
Yes. But even that, I don't think we'll be particularly comfortable.
Hmm.
I think France will win.
That's Fiji. You'd hope so.
Yeah, they really have to.
Yeah.
Let's return to where the podcast started for, you know, the real big event of the weekend. Let's do our picks of the week, looking ahead to the second week of the LV Cup. And there was our look ahead to this weekend's LV Cup.
We've not mentioned it.
What?
Sam Burgess has arrived.
Oh, he's here. Yes. Slamming earth. Sam's in town.
Are we the only people in the world who are not speaking about Sam Burgess?
Everyone's putting their two pence worth in at the moment, aren't they? I've seen a lot of articles that are written basically about the same thing, about the document rewording the documentary on Slamming Sam.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say at this point.
No,
Stuart Barnes managed to write like a page and a half of drivel.
I mean, I watched the Rabbitohs playoff matches in the NRL, and the guy's incredible. You look at his brothers. I watched the England v Australia rugby league over the weekend, and I was just watching his brothers, just thinking, God, if he's the best, these are big old boys. And
I tell you what, the only way to make that bath kit look any nicer is to put it on Sam Burgess, because he looks good in that bath kit.
Yeah, imagine Sonny Bill wearing that bath kit.
Oh, good lord!
A lot of the articles. I agree with you. A lot of the articles are kind of rehashing stuff that's already been said, and a lot of speculation with not a lot of substance because he hasn't played yet. And a lot of them have been let's talk about the good cross-code converts and the bad cross-code converts. Yeah. There were some names in that I'd completely forgotten about. I'd forgotten Yestyn Harris played quite a lot of times for Wales.
He was getting good. Yeah. I know everyone says he's a failure. He was getting really good towards the end. Steve Booth for Leicester. You probably don't remember him. But Liam Botham, Leeds, Newcastle.
You played a bit, yeah.
Carl Price.
John Bentley, Bentos.
Bentos!
Well, two of the best of them currently will be on show this weekend. One at the Millennium Stadium, Israel Folau, and another one. Well, no, actually, he's probably injured, so he won't make an appearance at Twickenham, but Sonny Bill.
Well,
can Sam Burgess reach those heights?
Here's a prediction for you. Sam Burgess will have one game in the next 12 months. That game will be a World Cup final, and it'll be just because he's kryptonite to Sonny Bill. And that's what we're going to do. We'll wheel him on.
The only way it's possible to stop Sonny Bill.
A Burgess. Shall we make up Proposition B, which is we don't talk about Burgess until he plays?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Because everyone's talking about Burgess. It's boring, and we're above that.
Or at least until he's named in the team sheet.
Yeah, when he plays, we can break Proposition B.
And even if he plays for the A team or whatever, or Bath United or whatever.
We'll go and watch it.
Any rugby. Yeah. Yeah, because we're not going to be able to actually talk about him as a player for another couple of months. Mm. So let's keep our powder dry and there'll be the right time and the right place. But one thing we can talk about is Rapeni Thau Kakambuna, or whatever, however you say his full name. Rapeni Thau Thau.
Yes, Rapeni Thau Thau.
What's the crazy individual been up to this week then?
So surprisingly, he was due back, I think, on Thursday. He was due to get on a flight from Fiji to Agen on Thursday.
Agen?
Yeah, where he's now playing, France Division 2. And never showed up, never made the flight, didn't arrive back. Which is something he's done at least a few times before.
Well, there's a famous one. Did he start at Agen in France?
I think he's played a handful of games this season. I don't think he's...
No, I mean... His first move over was Agen.
I think it was
as well. And the club president and a few other cronies had to travel 3 days obviously they had to fly there, then they had to get a link flight over to his island, then they had to cut through forest. And apparently the reason he couldn't make it was he had a dental infection and he was pretty much passed out with fever. So the first thing that they had to do when they got him back over is give him dental work.
And then when he had his teeth sorted out, he could chow down on buckets of KFC again.
Yeah.
Yam, KFC, who knows?
Everything. Lots of foie gras being in France.
Yeah.
Oh, so if you see a massive Fijian moving very quickly and looking like he's moving far too quickly for a guy of his size, then...
That's Rapeni Thau Thau.
That's Rapeni Thau Thau, and report him to the rugby authorities, please. Other than that, enjoy the rugby over the weekend. We'll be back, of course. You can get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter is where you can find us, and where you can see that picture of all the stuff we post, like JB with fellow number 8 Kieran Reid.
Why don't you play us out with the national anthem?
the national anthem?
Of America?
Yes. How did they do the anthem, by the way?
Awesomely. With fireworks, but no fighter jets.
Did they do it like traditionally? I didn't watch that, where they just did a normal one, or did they do the one where they do the older vocal gymnastics?
Oh, yeah.
But I say, can you see?
They love that, don't they?
They do love that.
Well, I like Whitney Houston's version in the Miami Super Bowl, but other than that.
All right, so let's be played out by the USA national anthem.
Oh, say, can you?
Goodness me.
See by the dawn's early light.
Why don't you play us out to the theme tune of the Magnificent Seven?
What's that?
have you not heard
no.
that?
No.
I think I know the one.
It's very American.
Yeah.
Hold on.
And the rockets rippling.
That is what you're talking about?
Much better. Very, very, very American.
Very American. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. We'll be watching the rugby and then we'll be back on Monday to talk about it again. In the meantime, get in touch with us. And thank you very, very much for listening. Tell your friends. Leave a little... What's it called? Oh, it's this song!
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Leave a little... What's it called? Review on iTunes.
And most importantly, enjoy the LV Cup.
Oh, of all things, enjoy the wonders of the LV Cup. We'll be back next time. Well, nice one, JB.
Bye-bye, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Laters.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.